The flame is burning a little less brightly for the iconic Zippo lighter. Manufactured since 1933 in Bradford, Pennsylvania, the company sent out pink slips this month to 38 of its 500-plus workers. Joining me to shed light is Wharton Professor of Management Emeritus, Marshall Meyer. Professor Meyer, thanks for joining us on Newsworks tonight.
And thank you. I'm glad to be here.
One of your research interests is management in China. And let's quickly go overseas, because China plays a big role in what seems to be happening with Zippo.
I agree with that. It appears that they made a bet on China, and it's not worked out as they planned.
Well, part of that bet was sensible, because smoking continues to decline here in the States, but less so in China, apparently.
I think so. The Chinese have begun to wonder about the medical costs, the social costs of smoking, but still smoking is much, much more common there than here.
Are Chinese deterred by the potential price of a Zippo lighter, which can apparently range from $15 to well over $10,000?
Well, it's an expensive item because obviously other cigarette lighters, domestic cigarette lighters, cost a heck of a lot less, but it's also a prestige item. And so for a while, there was a substantial market for Zippo lighters in China.
The CEO of Zippo says the layoffs were due in large measure to a glut of inventory.
Technically, I'm sure that's correct. They piled up too much inventory, or their distributor piled up too much inventory in China or in Hong Kong. But of course, what's the cause of that? And it's either optimistic projections or decline of sales. We don't know which.
Well, as you cite the distributor, now let's invoke the terms gray market versus black market.
A gray market in goods is very simple. It's a market created when a product intended for sale in one market is shipped to and sold in another market. Often the term is transshipment. Goes to one market and then sent back, for example, to the U.S., to another part of Asia.
Unbeknownst to the original manufacturer, in this case Zippo?
Unauthorized by them. Eventually they get knowledge of it, and as they have in this case.
It's not technically illegal.
As far as I know, it's not. I don't know what agreements the distributor has with Zippo, but the law doesn't prohibit it at all. It's quite common, in fact.
Professor, is Zippo a cautionary tale for other American concerns dealing with China?
I think so. It's a relatively small company. It found the domestic market declining. It found what it thought was a ready market in China, given high rates of consumption of tobacco. Entered the Chinese market and, in fact, got very optimistic there, expanded into a Zippo-branded clothing line. I don't think we've seen that in the U.S., but a number of things have happened in China, and it appears that their business in China has suffered as a consequence. There's been, of course, the anti-corruption drive, so there's a little less conspicuous consumption. There's some incipient anti-Americanism. There are probably some counterfeits. And of course, the Chinese economy is not growing at the same rate it was, though most agree household consumption remains on the upward side, although not as rapidly as before. So all these things are happening. Their business slows down unexpectedly. Inventory that had accumulated either in China or in Hong Kong for distribution in China gets diverted elsewhere, maybe back to the U.S. Price erosion results. That's what a gray market does. So the lesson, very succinctly, is don't bet the farm on China. Lots of things we don't know about China, lots of things we don't understand. And as a consequence, bets made there have to be taken with a sense of the risks involved, priced accordingly. And the old rule that holds in all investments, diversify, 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 also holds for China. I think that's the lesson that you take away. Don't bet the farm on China.
Though given the extensive list of variables you just cited, it's even a cautionary tale for larger concerns, not just small and mid-sized companies.
I would think so. There have been some remarkable success stories in China. For example, General Motors has done remarkably well in China. On the other hand, if you look at reports coming out of AmCham, American Chamber of Commerce, whether in Beijing, Shanghai, even Hong Kong, the challenges in China seem to have increased. And so businesses of all sizes and in all industries, I think would be well served by taking a look at these reports.
Professor, thanks so much for joining us on NewsWorks tonight to shed light.
And thank you very much for the opportunity to speak with you.
Wharton Professor of Management Emeritus, Marshall Meyer.